Good evening. All right, so today, as Pastor Brad mentioned, we're going to continue our study in the book of James. And recall that this was a letter written by Jesus' half-brother around 49 AD that was directed at first century Jewish Christians outside Palestine. It is a very practical letter that focuses on living the Christian life and its various aspects. And the lessons taught in James still very much apply today. So I was assigned James chapter 5, verses 4 to 6, which in the NIV Bible reads, "Look, the wages you fail to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you." So this all appears under the subheading, "Warning to Rich Oppressors," or as some other authors more boldly stated, "Judgment on the Wicked Rich." I learned that James's nickname was the Just, and that he was so passionate in this belief that many biblical scholars have used words such as seething, scathing, intense, pounding, and blistering to describe the views, his views on the evil rich. In these few lines, we first gain insight as to how the wicked rich treated the poor, then see how the poor reacted. Next, we see how the rich lived, and finally, we see what this lifestyle did to the poor. James's message was directed towards his wealthy, non-believing countrymen, some of whom even attended church, who were exploiting the poor. He was specifically describing the rich farmers who had large amounts of land that hired the poor and worked them to the bone. In his Preaching the Word, Hugh states that material fixation spawns a miserable quartet in one's life. First, by hoarding. Second, fraud. Third, self-indulgence. And fourth, murder. We learned of the hoarding aspect last month, and now we'll look at the fraud aspect when James states, "Look, the wages you fail to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you." This basic law of paying workers is also referenced in Leviticus 19:13, when the Lord said to Moses, "Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight." So keep in mind, most of these laborers were extremely poor and dependent on the wages to obtain just their basic necessities, including food. To even hold back pay for a day was going against God's command, so imagine not even getting paid at all. This gave us some real insight into the cruelty and wickedness displayed by the rich oppressors. The workers were essentially helpless and reacted as written. "The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty." Remember, there was no formal HR department for the workers to complain to. The Lord Almighty was their HR department. By reminding his congregation that the Lord was listening to this exploitation, James was trying to comfort these poor victims and assure them that justice would be coming. Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 and 15 also relates God's ideas on this matter. "Do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy. Pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and are counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin." Though this model may not be exactly as it was in biblical times, many of the concepts still hold true today. In particular, when looking at the business sector, it is important for us to see that employees are being treated fairly and with respect. We will all be held accountable for our actions. Whether you're a business owner with hundreds of employees or a homeowner who may employ just one person to help her out around the house, it is our duty to pay for the services rendered and to pay them in a timely manner. So this brings me to confession time. And I've noticed if I read the Bible enough and a lot, I will find passages, and I think many of us will, that relate to us, and we feel like God is talking to us. So that's the beauty of our Bible. A few years ago, we hired a lawn mowing company to keep up our yard. I realized my push mower from Jersey was not going to cut it, literally. So I met with the owner, and we outlined the basic schedule and costs, and he would send me monthly bills, and I would pay them. But then life got busy, and my mail stack got larger, and there were many unopened envelopes. A few months passed, and I received a letter from the owner who left me a handwritten note that so nicely requested payment for services rendered because he was currently not working as it was off-season and stated that payment would help him out a great deal. Talk about feeling horrible. So I immediately wrote out the check, and I'm proud to say that I'm now remaining current with him to this day. So on a larger scale, there is still exploitation in the modern day of workers around the world, and we should realize that our God is watching and that he is just. James continues his berating of the rich when he states, "You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter." James condemned the wicked rich for living in extravagant luxury, which oftentimes came at the expense of the poor. By not paying their laborers, these rich landowners accumulated more wealth that they used to further their pursuit of pleasure. In Luke chapter 16:13, Jesus states, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." James is making the point that the luxurious lifestyle of the wicked rich was a reflection of the hearts of these men. He ultimately states, "You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you." Condemned in this context meant the poor were doomed or sentenced to prison as a penalty for not paying their debts, which was often due to their wages being held. Oftentimes they died of starvation. This was considered murder by God. The wicked rich were so intent on keeping their opulent lifestyles that they would kill for it, though indirectly. So, in closing, there are a couple of thoughts for us to ponder. First, according to MacArthur in the New Testament commentary on James, he states, "Wealth may be a blessing, a gift from God bringing the opportunity to do good. But that can only be true of those who are also rich in faith and rich toward God. If wealth is to be a source of blessing and not condemnation, it must not be uselessly hoarded, unjustly gained, self-indulgently spent, or ruthlessly acquired." We need to examine our lives, especially with regards to material possessions. Are we preoccupied with acquiring earthly treasures? Are we in debt because we continue to accumulate material goods? Are we trying to serve two masters? Second, how do we treat our hired help? Are we treating them with respect and with dignity? And are we compensating them fairly? And finally, if we find ourselves to be victims of unfair treatment by our employers, we need to feel assured that our God sees and hears all. Our bosses or companies that we work for may or may not respond biblically, but we must remember that our Lord is listening to our cries. Don't forget that he is always just and will always avenge. Thank you.